and welcome to episode 18 of Secret Grasp. Secret Grasp is a podcast all about the mysterious and difficult to explain aspects of life. We cover topics relating to the paranormal, occult, conspiracy theories, urban legends, cryptids, and other strange occurrences. You can find us on all the major podcasting apps, and we've also got a video version of the podcast available on YouTube and pretty much any other website where you can see video. So go check that out. So today I want to talk about voodoo. This is kind of a hard topic to actually get firsthand information on because voodoo is really only taught in Haiti. And so unless you want to go to Haiti, and even if you do, unless you're black, I don't think they'll actually teach you voodoo. That's just how it works. So where I learned voodoo from is from a guy named E.A. Kwedeng. I've got his book here, Spider and the Green Butterfly. This is a limited edition leather version. You can buy the normal book on his website for like $60, but this one, there was only 100 copies ever made, and this is copy 76, so just a random occult flex on you there. So voodoo is one thing that I have never really messed with, because from everything that I've read from this, and I took a course that E.A. Kwedeng does on it as well, hashtag not sponsored, but voodoo is this thing where basically you open a doorway to the spirit world and you can never close it again. So I'm kind of hesitant to get involved with that. But today I'm going to tell you everything that I know about voodoo, and then you can kind of make that decision for yourself. So I'm going to talk about where voodoo comes from, who the clergy are in voodoo, where voodoo gets its bad reputation from. We could talk about the Loa, who are the main kind of spirits of the religious system. We'll talk about the parts of the soul as they're believed to exist in voodoo, and some other stuff. So you've probably seen voodoo portrayed in all kinds of movies and popular media, but it's hard to say exactly what it is. Is it like a religion? Is it witchcraft, or is it something else? So voodoo is actually a complex religion that incorporates different beliefs from African, Catholic, Native American belief systems, and it's got a whole hierarchy of gods and spirits and systems of clergy and other things that normally make up a religious system. So I'm going to tell you about what voodoo is and where it's from. And so let's get into that. So when you hear the word voodoo, you probably have some kinds of thoughts and images that come in your mind. You probably think of like voodoo dolls, witch doctors, and zombies. Maybe like slaughtering live chickens and spitting rum everywhere. That's pretty much the extent of what Western people think of when they hear about voodoo. But there's a sliver of truth to all of these, but it's really extremely exaggerated versions of what voodoo is in reality. So where did this imagery come from? These ideas about what you think of voodoo, it's largely how voodoo's been portrayed in movies, television, and books, and other forms of media, but they don't have very much actual basis in the actual practices of voodoo. Despite what the media tells you, voodoo practitioners aren't necessarily evil sorcerers or witch doctors. Voodoo isn't a practice of devil worship or black magic, and most of the followers of voodoo haven't even heard of zombies or voodoo dolls, except through popular media pretty much. Like most religions, there's some variation about how voodoo is practiced depending where you are. Just like Christianity, you've got everything from like evangelicals to Catholics. Voodoo is the same, and not everybody agrees on how it should be practiced. But yeah, like I said, ultimately it's like a mix of African belief systems that were brought over, and then my understanding is basically slaves had to kind of incorporate that within Catholicism to hide their beliefs, and then there's some like Native American stuff thrown in there too. So voodoo is a religion that ultimately can trace its roots back to Africa. Similarities can be seen between voodoo and other religions that originated in Africa, for example, Palo Mayombe and Santeria, but each has their own custom and unique beliefs. Caribbean is where voodoo is strongest and most established, and especially in Haiti, kind of like Port-au-Prince is kind of the voodoo capital of the world, I would say. But today, voodoo is practiced all around the world, although it can be hard to get an accurate idea of how many practitioners there actually are. So the first thing we need to talk about is the difference between what I would call voodoo and then like American style voodoo or hoodoo. So Haitian voodoo or voodoo, in my opinion, is much more in touch with the roots of what voodoo was originally all about. It's much more community based and practices are done as a group. In fact, in Haiti, it's not really believed that you can be a solo practitioner of voodoo. Much of the practice relies on a group, and as opposed to voodoo in somewhere like New Orleans in Louisiana. Sometimes that's called hoodoo, and it was made popular and differentiated through the works of people like Marie Laveau. And in my opinion, New Orleans style voodoo is a lot more focused on the individual, and the emphasis is on going to see like a voodoo practitioner who can sell you magic spells, potions, and rituals for you. And it really takes the power away from the individual and turns voodoo into more of like a commercial thing. I think that style of voodoo, I think it's a lot more like going to see a psychic or a tarot reader as opposed to an actual religion. It's not necessarily to say one is better or worse than the other. Louisiana style voodoo has more, it's more of like a folk medicine, and it's more practical in my eyes, whereas voodoo is more about making an appeal directly to the gods. So what does Haitian voodoo actually teach? So those that follow voodoo believe there's a supreme god. The god doesn't interfere with the world since it was created. He just kind of made it and it went away. And instead, gods interact with the supernatural world through loa. These spirits serve as the, like in the place of the main god, who's known as Bon Dieu, which is French for good god or Bon Dieu. The loa, they act like the saints in Catholicism, so you can pray and appeal to them and ask them for favors, and then the loa go to God on your behalf. So believers in voodoo believe there's a physical world that's visible to us, but there's also a spiritual world that we can interact with, but it's invisible. And when we die, we go to this invisible spirit world. Most voodoo practitioners believe that our ancestors are still watching over us in spirit and that can be interacted with. So who is the clergy when it comes to voodoo? Voodoo practitioners who commit to the spiritual path can become clergy members. The male voodoo priests are called Hungin or Hungin, and the female voodoo priests are called Mambos. These clergies provide guidance and help to their followers on the spiritual path, although voodoo also teaches that everybody is responsible for their own spiritual path, so there's a strong emphasis on both doing stuff individually, and then there's also a lot of community support as well, though. So from what you see in the media about voodoo, you probably think it's just like no holds barred. People casting curses on each other back and forth for centuries, but voodoo actually does have a strong moral code that helps distinguish from right and wrong for its followers. Puts a particular emphasis on reducing greed and dishonor. Like I said, there's a lot of emphasis on community support and love as well. There's no central authority in voodoo, like there's the Pope in Catholicism. It's pretty much the Hunguns and Mambos are, they're like regional leaders of their own groups, and they're the ultimate authority that people go to. So there can be some variation in what people believe from one area to the next, depending what their leader says. So where did voodoo get this bad reputation about curses and stuff? So religions have a long history of being contorted and like making other religions think that they're misguided or sinful or devil worshippers. We've got the word demonized that literally comes from the idea that the early Christians would portray their local gods as demons when they took over a city or region. Some names associated today with demons like Baal or Beelzebub were once the names of Middle Eastern gods whose religions were widely wiped out in the conquest. And that's kind of the same thing that happened with voodoo. The whole religion is in some ways an attempt to basically veil the ancient African beliefs under the guise of Catholicism. This was done during slavery in North America so slaves could hide their old beliefs from the slave owners. And since voodoo had to be largely hidden by its followers from the outside world, it's kind of understandable that the mysteries and rumor about it kind of started to build up. Just like, say things like Freemasonry and other secret societies, there's kind of this air of mystery around it. Obviously, racism plays some part, and the people in charge of Haiti largely use propaganda to portray voodoo as a bloody and primitive practice. There were admittedly some bad events in voodoo's past. In 1864, a group of voodoo devotees they were put on trial for murder and cannibalization of a woman. People largely took this as a sign of the evil nature of voodoo. But there are like a few of these kind of instances of cannibalism, but they're pretty isolated. Just like in North America, in the States and stuff, you'd have like occasional outbreaks of crazy satanic groups doing human sacrifice and stuff. So I don't know if you should judge voodoo just on a couple cannibals, but that's up to you. Over time, voodoo's become more and more sensationalized in the movies and media. Nowadays, voodoo is more based on the old movies about voodoo than actual voodoo itself. So we have like a really warped and distorted view of what voodoo actually is. Even today in Haiti, many voodoo practitioners are worried about how they'll be viewed because of their religion, and many choose to keep their beliefs a secret, even from like their neighbors and friends and stuff. So where do we get this idea of the zombies in voodoo? So this is partly based on fact, but it isn't an ordinary part of voodoo that people are just going around creating zombies. So sorcerers in rural Haiti have been known to zombify people by administering various plants and chemicals, such as the poison from a blowfish. So the sorcerers, essentially, they administer drugs to people that put them into a coma. It slows their breathing and heart rate so much that it looks like they're dead. And if you don't have like a proper medical system and somebody just comes and like checks the pulse, they're going to seem dead. So the family buries them, and then the sorcerer comes back a couple days and digs them up and they're still alive. This practice can relate in permanent brain damage and other complications to the victims, which I think leads to the portrayal of slow brain dead zombies. Because if you think about it, if you've been like poisoned and then oxygen deprived, put in a coffin for several days, your brain is probably going to be pretty messed up. So sadly, many of these zombies are believed to have then been kept as slaves by the sorcerers and used for their own labor and devices. However, this practice doesn't really have any connection with voodoo, except they both occur in Haiti. Voodoo doesn't really condone or practice any kind of zombification on a regular basis. What about voodoo dolls? That's probably their big thing associated with voodoo. So the idea of sticking pins into dolls and otherwise damaging them to harm an enemy, that's a very real practice that does go back thousands of years. This type of folk magic originated in Central and West Africa, where it's more commonly known as poppet magic, P-O-P-P-E-T. Any type of object that's used to take the place of somebody or something else in a spell can be seen as a poppet. So poppet magic and voodoo originate from the same area in Africa, so there's a lot of overlap there. And some people who practice voodoo may also practice poppet magic, particularly those who follow hoodoo or the more New Orleans style of voodoo that I mentioned. So again, voodoo itself doesn't specifically make use of or teach about these voodoo dolls, though. So that's a little bit about the general overview of voodoo. So now I'm going to focus on talking a bit about the actual spirits and the kind of like the religious system of voodoo. So we'll talk about the Loa, the L-O-A. Sometimes it's also spelled L-W-A. So who are the voodoo Loa? Loa are the main spirits of voodoo. I mentioned earlier they kind of act as a intermediary between the supreme creator, who's just kind of like peaced out and he's no longer part of the regular universe, so you need the Loa to go talk to him because he doesn't actually interfere with the world directly anymore. Some people would go as far as to call Loas themselves gods, but I wouldn't go that far. I'd say that, like I said, they're more like saints or angels that kind of act on your behalf. Voodoo practitioners don't just pray to them, they actually serve them. Each Loa has its own personality and it's got its own songs, dances, symbols, and stuff like that associated with it, and each one has their own likes and dislikes. The word Loa comes from the French word les lois, which means the laws, and each Loa has a symbol called a veve. The equivalent to this in Western magic would be like a sigil. It's like an elaborate symbol. It's normally drawn on the floor using a powder like ash or flour. And then they make sacrifices and offerings of food, rum, and cigars that are often placed on the veves. And the veve acts like a beacon that calls that specific Loa into the room. The same way that sigils work to conjure demons and stuff like that. Other African religions like Palo Mambe, Santeria, Umbanda, and others, they often use similar but distinct symbols. So there might be some crossover there. They've got like similar spirits that they work with. So the Loa are divided into three families. The pantheon of voodoo is one of the most elaborate and confusing of any religion that I've come across. It includes gods, demigods, intermediaries, who are the Loa, as well as random wandering spirits, ancestors, and spirits of the dead. So the three families of Loa, it's critical that they have to be kept separate at all times because they will like fight with each other. This is like the core number one rule of voodoo, is you don't work with different kinds of Loas. Normally, your church has like one family of Loa and you stick to it and you don't cross them. It's like, don't feed the gremlin after midnight kind of thing. So yeah, in voodoo temples, there's a separate room at least devoted to each family, and they're spiritually sealed off from each other's. Mixing Loa from different families is no joke. They're quick to fight with each other, and the subsequent spiritual battle that unfolds can cause war, famine, disease, and natural disasters to get unleashed on the world. So the first family of the Loa are called the Rada Loa. These are usually considered the oldest of all the Loa. They come directly from West Africa, specifically the former kingdom of Dahomey, which is located in modern-day Benin. I can't believe there's actually a place called Dahomey, but I guess there's also Uruguay and other places with interesting names. The Rada Loa are mostly water spirits. Their water nature is reflected in their less aggressive and cooler nature compared to the other two families of Loa. So if you're like a beginner, this is probably a good family to start with. Some people mistakenly think that Rada Loa are benevolent because of their cool nature, but while it's true that the other families have a lot more tendency towards violence and destruction, the Rada aren't exactly angels either. The most well-known Rada is Papa Legba, who's known for his trickery, deceit, and harm. He uses these tools to teach humans a lesson, or sometimes simply for his own amusement. Other well-known Radas include Loco and Ogwe. Most of the Rada Loa are served with white garments and candles. The second family is the Petro Loa. So if the Rada are like the calm and level-headed Loa, the Petro are the crazy and unhinged ones. They're a lot more aggressive and warlike, and they're often represented with blood and fire. Most of the Petro Loa are depicted with red eyes. Every Loa is believed to have a violent side and their benevolent side. The violent side usually resides in the Petro family. For example, Kalfu is considered the opposite of Legba, although he isn't really an opposite. He's actually like an entirely different entity that traces his roots back to Africa. So the Petra Loa, they're associated with Haiti and the New World. These Loa were discovered or created when slaves were forced from Africa to Haiti. They might be the ascended souls of warriors, slaves, and Hungans, or the voodoo priests. In some cases, just violent spirits. The Petra Loa demand difficult and dangerous blood sacrifices above all else. Not something to mess with. The name Petro is believed to come from a powerful voodoo priest and former slave named Don Juan Felipe Pedro. Some famous Petra Loa include Metcalfu, who's also known as Maître Carrefour, French for Master of the Crossroads, and Marionette. And third, we've got the Gede Loa. So the Gede aren't actually Loa, they're mostly just spirits of the dead, although there are some real Loa that guide them. So these are Baron Samdi, Baron Lacroix, Baron Cimetière, and Baron Criminal. The Gede spirits are rude, loud, and extremely sexual. So just imagine like what the average Haitian person is like in real life, and imagine they're just like that when they die too, I guess. They become Gede Loa. When the Gedes possess people during a voodoo service, they have no fear and they'll do things like eat raw chili peppers in glass, or they'll anoint their genitals with chili rum, I don't even know why this is a thing, that they have like chili peppers mixed with rum, maybe just specifically to put on their genitals. I don't know how this works, but that's a thing that they like to do apparently. So the Gede are traditionally represented with the colors black and purple. Baron Samdi is sometimes represented as a white man with a beard and a top hat, sunglasses, and a black suit. If you've ever seen an image of the Loa, Baron Samdi is likely the one that you've seen. He was also a character in a James Bond film and novel, Live and Let Die. And there's even a Baron Samdi brand of spiced rum. There's a few other minor Loa families, but those are the main three. I think there's like the Congo Loa and the Naga Loa, but the majority of the ones that you'll hear about were three of the ones that I mentioned. So I'll talk about some of the major Loa and what their responsibilities are. So first you've got Papa Legba. He's arguably the most important Loa in all of Haitian voodoo. Basically, in order to communicate with any other Loa, first you have to hold a service and call Legba so that he can open the gates for you to the worlds of the spirits. This is what I talked about at the beginning, where like once you open this door into the voodoo world, it's very hard to go back. So think carefully before you do this. But for this reason that he like opens the gates, he's often compared to the Christian figure of St. Peter. Other Loa actually need Legba's permission in order to show themselves, and he controls their ability to cross over between worlds. Papa Legba is often represented as a small, lovable old man who walks with a cane and wears a wide-brimmed straw hat. He smokes a tobacco pipe, and he's usually accompanied by dogs. Next up, we've got Kalfu, also known as Carrefour. Kalfu is the opposite aspect of Papa Legba. He's often represented as a young man or a demon. So if Legba is comparable to St. Peter in Christianity, then Legba is basically Satan, the equivalent. He likes to drink rum that's infused with gunpowder, and he's associated with crossroads, misfortune, and destruction. So basically all of the evil forces of the world. Next up, we've got Gede. So don't confuse this with the whole Gede family of Loa. Gede is also an individual Loa from that same family. So that's kind of confusing. So he's a large black figure that controls the crossroads between life and death. So you can think of him like the Grim Reaper or like Charon in Greek mythology. Gede is a Loa of sexuality, but paradoxically also a protector of children. He doesn't like to see children die, and when praying for six people, he's the obvious choice to go for. He's considered the good counterpart to Baron Samedi. And anybody who wants to contact the dead has to go through either him or Baron Samedi, the same way that Legba has to be contacted to begin opening communication with the spirit world. So if you want to talk to a dead person, you got to go through those two Loa. And then we got Loco. Just like his name sounds like, you would think that he would be the craziest one of them all, but he's actually pretty chill. He's a Loa of healers and plants, especially trees. He has a wide knowledge of medicinal properties of plants. Offerings to Loco are put in straw bags and hung from tree branches. I like to picture him as the comic book character and Marvel whatever of the galaxy Groot, like a big tree. Next up, we have Ogwe. He's the ruler of the sea, kind of like Poseidon in Greek mythology. It makes sense that since Haiti is an island, they would have like a water god, I guess. But he's in charge of all the plants and animals of the sea, as well as every ship that sails on it. So naturally, he's the patron Loa of fishermen and sailors. Ogwe likes painted shells and oars, sea life like starfish and seahorses, as well as gunfire and military uniforms. He's also partial to champagne, as opposed to most of the Loa like rum for whatever reason. Sometimes he's depicted as the Archangel Raphael, who's also depicted holding fish. Offerings to Ogwe take place at sea. Smaller offerings are often dropped overboard into the ocean, and larger offerings are placed on rafts and floated out to sea. If the raft sinks, then the offering has been accepted, but if it returns to shore, then it's been rejected. So I guess you're kind of incentivized to make a shitty raft if you want your thing to be accepted. I don't know how that works. And then we'll talk about kind of the parts of the soul according to voodoo. So in Christianity, there's just kind of like a soul and that's it. But in voodoo, they actually believe that the soul can be broken down into five separate parts. So the first is called the Gros Bonange. This is French for Great Guardian Angel. So your Gros Bonange stays in the body at all times until death. By Western standards, it's what we would call the soul. It's immortal, invincible, and it leads you towards power, ability, and godhood. Then we've got the Ti Bonange. So this is French for Little Guardian Angel. So this part of the spiritual self isn't attached to the eternal being. It leaves the body during sleep or when a person gets possessed by Loa during ritual. The Tibanange is permanently linked with the Grobanange, even though it can leave the body sometimes. So I guess, like I mentioned in the astral projection episode, maybe there's like a silver cord that connects the two or something like that. It's similar to what we'd consider the astral body, actually. The idea of a samsaric self in Hinduism and Buddhism is kind of closer to this idea of the soul than what the Christian one is. So the Tibanange can also be used for remote viewing and astral projection. Okay, part three of your soul is called Zitwal, which is French for star. It's also sometimes called the Star of Destiny. This is the part of the human being that guides you. It's not located in or immediately around your body. You can think of it more like the concept of karma. It's not part of you, but it's inseparably linked to you. And we have the Name. This is the energy body, also called the spirit of the flesh. It's a semi-visible aura that can be seen around living people. So in voodoo, they think this is what causes your blood to pump, your lungs to breathe, and the electrical currents of your nervous system, healing, and other actions that you would like associate with the body of a living being. And then finally, we've got the corpse cadaver. So this is just your physical body. It's basically the big sack of meat that gets left behind when you die. I'll talk a little bit about voodoo rituals. I'm not going to go too in depth into specific rituals involving Liloa, but that's at least partially because I think voodoo might be one of the more dangerous types of magic out there. So I don't really want to give people step-by-step instructions on how to do this. If you want to look at, like, there's all kinds of videos on YouTube about a ritual with Papa Legba to open the gates and stuff, if you really want to do that. But like I said, I would really caution you against that. The voodoo loa and different spirits usually have specific purposes and powers. While voodoo spirits and loa, they have specific preferences and interests. They're basically unlimited in power. Oh, sorry. So I was saying, like, in the Western system of magic, usually the different spirits that you'll talk to, they have specific purposes and powers, but the loa are basically unlimited in their power and their ability to enact change in the world. So the other thing is that everything that you know about Western magic, if you know about like protection spells and like magic triangles and circles of protection and stuff like that, that can't protect them. It can't protect you from them, and it can't contain them. So don't try and do like a normal ritual magic and summon voodoo loa, because it's not gonna contain them. You're gonna get fucked up. So once you do your initial ritual with Papa Legba to open the gates, like I said, they can't be closed. You're basically stuck with the voodoo loa and spirits for the rest of your life. So make sure that's really something that you want to get into. It's a big commitment. For that reason, like I said, I find voodoo fascinating, but I'm not gonna directly deal with it. But if you want to know what the typical voodoo ritual looks like, it usually involves one or multiple loa being called down by the Hungin or Mumbo. There's also a lower Bakor, which is a sorcerer, or a Kaplata, which is a witch. They might also take on this role if the main priest or priestess isn't available. So the service involves drawing a veve, usually a lot of drinking and smoking, depending on which loa is involved. Those leading the ritual receive offerings and grant requests. The loa arrive in the room by possessing a member of the crowd. This is often referred to as mounting a horse, and the possessed person is said to be ridden. The possession can be violent and causes the participants to convulse and flail around. Experienced voodoo practitioners can determine which loas are present just based on their distinctive phrases, actions, and behavior. And once the loa have been served and fed, then they'll leave. Some of them are less willing to leave than others, especially the ones that always want to have another smoke or drink before they go. So the priest or priestess is really, their task is to kind of keep the spirits in line to make sure things don't get super out of hand. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about voodoo, though. It's like a really elaborate pantheon of spirits and intermediaries, especially when it comes to the loa. There's potentially hundreds of different loas that each have their own distinct personalities. Normally, a family will have their own kind of like, you have like a patron saint. Everybody has their own Loa that they might worship in their house. They might even have like a whole room of their house devoted to one Loa. So, yeah, it's powerful magic, but I probably would recommend against using it unless you're prepared to devote your entire life to it. Like I said, you open those gates, sometimes you can't close them back up. So that to keep in mind. So that's it for voodoo. In the next episode, I'm going to be talking about iceberg charts. It's actually going to be a whole series that I'm going to be starting. If you don't know what an iceberg chart is, basically it's like an image of an iceberg. So the concept is that you've got the iceberg, you've got like the tip of the iceberg, which is the common stuff that the average person knows. And then as you go deeper and deeper down, it lists all the different things associated with it. So it gets more obscure and stuff over time. So the first iceberg chart that I'm going to go over is about the ultimate conspiracy theory iceberg. So that should be pretty interesting. So that's going to be episode after this. So that's it for now, though. We'll be in touch soon.